And we're holding on to Zion Ahmed Bey's 5 lines from the bottom. He started talking about the judgment that Hashem does of a person every year, and according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Nosson, every day or even every moment. The last thing we talked about was the idea that you have three groups, Tzadikim, Beinonim, and Rishayim, and so you have judgment on Rosh Hashanah and the completion of the judgment for Beinonim on Yom Kippur. So now talking more on that topic, now we have to realize that a person is judged, leaving aside what Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Nosson are saying about a person being judged every day or every moment, you also have, even if we say like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, that a person is judged only once a year, Rosh Hashanah, and completed on Yom Kippur, there's also two other judgments that a person goes through. There's while they're alive every Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. There's one after 120, when a person passes away, they go in front of the Beis Din Shalmaila and they're judged. And then there's going to be a third judgment, La'asid Lavoi, before Mashiach comes, when Mashiach comes, at the time of Tchias HaMesim, there's going to be a third judgment of everybody. And that's the judgment that we're going to talk about now over here, the Yom HaDin, is that one. The one that's going to be La'asid Lavoi. Some of the other ones that we're talking about over here in the Gemara, the one that we talked about yesterday, so that you might have, so Tosfos points out that yes, they were already judged in Gan Eden or Gehenim, but there still might be, after all, a person might have gone through Gehenim, and now, when it comes to Tchias HaMesim, after all, for example, they may have already been punished in Gehenim enough, and now they're able to go, have Tchias HaMesim and have Chaya Olam Haba. You can have that, Hashem can see at the time, what's the situation with the person. There is a verse actually from the Balei HaMusar that says sometimes what you have is that a person, when they passed away, they had so many mitzvahs, so many averus, therefore they're judged accordingly. Now, between then and Tchias HaMesim, though, their actions while they were alive had much more of an effect. You can have directly, for example, where, you know, there was Zoch of Zikah Sarabim, like it says in Pirkei Avos about Moshe Rabbeinu, so the future good things that people do are all credited to him, and he needs to be rewarded for those also by Tchias HaMesim. And then you can have the opposite, somebody who was Chotzi or Machtes Rabim, like Yudavim ben Nevat. But not even mitzvahs and averus per se. Sometimes you just have something, somebody does something, which might even be neutral, but it had a certain effect on somebody else, which in turn had another effect, and so forth, a ripple effect. And therefore Hashem has to take that into consideration also. And that's why you need a third judgment of a person by Tchias HaMesim. So that's what we're going to be talking about over here. So Tanya, Bit Shammai Ermin,
By Tchias HaMesim, are all the Yidden going to be coming back alive?
Well, that's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to talk about. Hold on. Tanya, Bishama Ermin, Gimel Kitasein L'Yom HaDin. There are three groups of Jews when it comes to the Yom HaDin, or three groups in general, not just of Jews, because we're going to mention, as we go through over here, we're going to mention almost the Olam as well. So there's three groups when by the judgment of Tchias HaMesim. Achas shal tzaddikim gmurim, ba'achas shal rishoyim gmurim, ba'achas shal beinanim, complete tzaddikim, complete rishoyim, and beinanim. And again, here you have the various possibilities that we talked about yesterday. Do we mean literally tzaddikim gmurim, as in the ones who never did any averus, and rishoyim gmurim, who never did any mitzvahs, and beinanim, everyone in between? Or does it mean tzaddikim gmurim, as in they have a little more than half mitzvahs, and then again that depends on Hashem's way of counting mitzvahs and averus, not ours, and so on and so forth. Anyway, so tzaddikim gmurim nechtovim nechtamim la'alto l'chaya olam. The tzaddikim gmurim, however you define those, are immediately written and sealed that they're going to have eternal life. They're alive. They come alive by Tchias HaMesim, and they continue to live. We've talked about sometimes before a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban on the question: what happens after Tchias HaMesim? Is it that the Rambam learns that eventually after everybody who comes alive by Tchias HaMesim eventually passes away, and then their neshamas enjoy eternal life in Gan Eden? So the Rambam would understand that's what it means over here, l'chaye olam, not eternal physical life, but eternal spiritual life. Whereas the Ramban disagrees, and this is how Chassidus agrees with the Ramban, and says that no, it means that they actually will live physically forever, but their bodies will be on a much higher level. They won't need to eat and drink, for example. So that's the tzaddikim gmurim. Rishoyim gmurim nechtovim nechtamim la'alto l'gehenim. The rishoyim gmurim will be immediately written and sealed that they go to Gehenim. Shenema, as the pasuk says, the rabbi mishene admas offer yokitzu. Hashem tells Daniel that many of those who sleep in the dust will wake up by chesemaisim. Eilo l'chaye olam, some for eternal life. The eilo l'charofis, the diran olam, and others for humiliation, for eternal disgustingness. That refers to the ones who are going to be the ones who are going to be in Gehenna. So to answer your question, then yes. So in other words, we're saying that there can be people who are going to be coming alive by Tchias Meisim, but the purpose of that is going to be in order to punish them, in order to give them what they deserve. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin about this, actually, where Antoninus asks Rebbe, I mean, the goof can always claim, I couldn't have done anything without the Neshama. The Neshama can claim, I couldn't have done anything without the goof. So how is either of them deserving of punishment? And Rebbe gives him a mashal where the nimshal of it is that Hashem puts them together as they were when the person did the Aveira and then punishes them together. So that would fit with our Gemara over here. That by Tchias Meisim, these people get up in order to receive the punishment that they deserve with body and Neshama together. The expressions are rabbing, by the way. Well, first of all, there are some people that the Mishnah says on do not get Tchias Meisim, so that would be one reason why it says rabbing, but the Ritva gives a more positive reason for it. He says because you have some great tzaddikim who have Tchias Meisim even earlier. You have the general run of people have Tchias Meisim at one point, but it's brought in various places that there are certain really high-level tzaddikim who are going to have an earlier Tchias Meisim during an earlier stage of the Gula Hasida. Anyway, so that takes care of the tzaddikim and the rishayim. Next, beinoniim, the ones who are half and half, however you find that, yodin l'gehenim, they go down to Gehenim, or mitzatzafin, and they cry out over there, they're in Gehenim for even a short amount of time, but they cry out from their yisurim, but oilin, and then they come out, because that's it, the small amount of time that they were there is enough to clean up their aver. Marsha has a different explanation of mitzatzafin. He says it means they praise Hashem. When Hashem, while they're either it means while they're in Gehenim, they praise Hashem, realizing that He judged them truthfully. Like you have the story in Baba Basra with Korach and his group, where Rabbi Baba Chana hears the underground saying Moshe emes v'serasa emes v'hein v'adoyin. Or it means that after Hashem brings them out of Gehenim, then they praise Hashem and v'olin, and they come out of Gehenim. The pasuk says they see as a shlishus ve'esh. I'll bring the third group through fire, I mean the fire of Gehenim. With tzrachtim kitzroit as a kesef, I'll purify them like you purify silver. Ubchantim kivchoynas hazahav, and I'll test them like you test the purity of gold. Hu yikra v'shmi, this group will call in my name. Bani ena oseh, and I will answer him. So those are the people that they have to go through the fire of Gehenim, and then they call out to Hashem mitzatzafin according to either definition, and they come out of it. And Hashem answers them and brings them out. Those are the ones on which Hannah said in her tefillah, Hashem kills and revives. He brings down to Sheol, where Sheol is another name for Gehenim, by Yaal, and he brings up. So referring to these Beinanim and at the Yom Adin, Lassid Lavoi, who have to spend a very short amount of time in, Gehenim. Now that's all this channel. Beshilul Oimim, Beshilul says no. When it comes to the Beinanim, we have one of the 13 midas is V'rav Chesed, that Hashem has abundant kindness. That means Mat Kwape Chesed, Hashem inclines the scale towards Chesed. As we're going to talk about further down on the Amud, how exactly Hashem inclines that scale. But the Beinanim don't necessarily have to spend time in Gehenim. Hashem can incline the scale, and they wind up being in the category of tzaddikim, and they don't need to go through Gehenim at all. And the Bishul says, "Aleim amad David, I have to ki yishma Hashem es koli." On them, David HaMelech says in Hallel, "I love it," or as we're going to see later in the Gemara, it means I am beloved when ki yishma Hashem es koli, when Hashem listens to my voice. And in fact, David said the entire parasha, that entire section from Mo'ahavdi until Kol Adam Koziv, I said the whole parasha, including the phrase, Daloisi v'li Yoshia, that I'm poor, Malashim Dal, I'm poor of mitzvahs v'li Yoshia, but Hashem saves me. Referring therefore, Basilah says, to these Beinanim who are donor, they're not rich enough in mitzvahs, that they would have been in the category of the Tzadikim Gemurim, and yet Hashem gives them a break, so to speak. Tosfos points out you have other psukim in that half capital that refer to those people. Afafuni chevle maves, for example, the bonds of death encompassed me, meaning that I thought that I'm going to have to go into Gehenna, but Hashem spares me that. Obviously, what David is saying this until, he's not talking about himself. He's far above the level of a Bain, and he's talking about on behalf of that category of Jews. Tosfos also points out the word daloisi can also be related to the word daloi dalalanu, which means to lift out. So it refers to Hashem lifting them out of Golos. A Marsha goes through, there's a long Marsha over here that goes through almost pasuk by pasuk through that half capital and explains how it refers not just to the Beinonim. He says that various phrases in those psukim refer to all three groups. Some of them to the Tzadikim, some of them to the Beinonim, and some of them even to the Rishayim. Okay. Now, so far we have three categories. We have Tzadikim, Beinonim, and Rishayim. We're saying Beinonim is Machloikas v'Shamay v'Hillel. What happens then? Next, the fourth category, Poshei Yisrael v'Gufan, Jews who sinned with their bodies, which further down on the Amud we're going to explain what that means, or Poshei Omos Olam v'Gufan, and Goyish sinners with their bodies, which again we're going to define, Yodim v'Gehenim, those definitely go to Gehenim. Even v'Hillel is going to have to agree with that. V'Nidonim bo Yudbeis Chodesh, and they're judged and punished there for 12 months. After 12 months, their body has been destroyed. And their neshama is burnt. One second, you're going to ask, isn't it? Neshama chevet alakami ma'al mamash. Hold that thought. The ruach mefazaut on tachas tachas raglet tzaddikim. A wind is going to scatter their ashes underneath the feet of hagoros habach adz v'nas and offer, and they become dust tachas tachas raglet tzaddikim underneath the feet of the tzaddikim. Shenemar, we have a pasuk that describes that process. Va'asoysim Rishoyim, the Navi says to the Tzadikim, you will trample the Rishoyim, asoysim Meloshin Isa, like you beat it down and trample it down like dough. Kiyu Efer, tapas tapas regulation, because they will be dust under your feet. So what does it mean to become dust? So that Ramban explains that what it means is you have people who are in Gehenna, you have people who are in Gan Eden, and then you have people who are like they're neither. They can't be in Gehenna. In this particular case, we're saying they already spent 12 months there. They don't need any more time there. On the other hand, they're not ready to go into Gan Eden either. So therefore, they're kind of in limbo. And that limbo state is described over here in the Gemara metaphorically as they become ashes that the tzaddikim step on. Now, nishmas and nisrefes, so some of the mefarshim say it means literally their neshama. Other mefarshim take very strong issue with that. What do you mean? The neshama is never destroyed. It can never be destroyed. It's chelak elakami ma'al mamash. So they understand that it means nishmas and doesn't mean their nefesh alakis. It means their body. It means their nefesh bahamis. Those get destroyed, but their nefesh alakis goes free. So there's a fascinating letter from the Rebbe. I've mentioned it before in this shir, where somebody asked him. There was a chassid living in Newark by the name of Stockhammer. Later on, as daughters of his married Mentlich and Moshe Pinchas Katz and Ziskin, the head of the kollel. Anyways, he was a yid living in Newark. So one time, the Friedrich Rebbe had set a mimer, and it was published in Akriy Vakdusha on the theme of Kol Yisrael Yeshlan and Chelik. And the Friedrich Rebbe explained, it means Kol Yisrael, without exception. And this David Stockhammer wrote a letter to the Rebbe, to our Rebbe, asking, what do you mean? Don't you have these various categories that we see here and in Sanhedrin and others that don't have a Chevet Lo'el Ma'ba? And, for the Rebbe, no Jew will be left behind. It's not just a slogan. You know, that was the Rebbe's life. So he writes back a long letter to him explaining that no, actually, even those people that it says on them that they don't have a chelik on Abba, nevertheless, somehow or other, they will. They can have a child whose chusim help them. This is, after all, the idea why you say Kaddish for a parent, for example. You can have, even it can be not a child, but somebody else, maybe even somebody unrelated, whose chosim are able to help them. You have an example, for example, with Acher, where Rabbi Yochanan was able to help him. You can have first of all, obviously, all of these things we're talking about is where they never did tshuva. If they did tshuva, then that cleans up before they passed away. Then that cleans up everything, on and on. And even if you're going to say, for example, that you might have a person who acted so badly that they don't deserve chias and esim, fine. But at one point or another, their neshama was in a gilgul. So therefore, there'll be some other body that they were in. That's fine. So they won't. So like this. Usually, you would have that neshama was in multiple gilgulim. A part of that neshama will go into each body. Fine. No problem. The same whereas you can't talk about part of a candle flame, you can't really talk about part of a neshama. So fine, what you'll have over here is maybe you'll have that one particular body that this neshama inhabited won't come back by its case of mason, but all the other bodies that that neshama inhabited will, because those weren't so bad. And so on and so forth. So over here also, so even if you have to have one particular body and one particular nefesh of Bahamas is destroyed completely, nevertheless, still you have all the other ones. The Rebbe also once pointed out in the Sicha, by the way, that this metaphor of the Rishoyim becoming ashes or dust under the feet of the Tzaddikim, when you get down to it, what it means is, in other words, the Tzaddikim are now standing on a higher level because of that. If you're standing on a pile of dirt or a pile of ashes, you're higher than you otherwise were. So it represents the idea that these Rishoyim, even though we're talking about these Poshi Yisrael, Poshi Omasa Olam, nevertheless, they have a certain connection to the Tzaddikim, not a normal one like you would have a person to person, but like in the sense that Tzaddikim are raised higher thanks to them. Okay. Now, the next group. So far, again, we have four groups. Tzaddikim, Beninim, Rishoyim, and Poshi Yisrael, and Poshi Yisrael and Umas Olam Begufan, which we're going to define later what those are. We're also going to work out how that relates to the groups that we said before. Aval, but, continues the Gemara, Haminin, Minim, which Rashi defines as people who misinterpreted the Torah, for example, Tzaddikim and Baitosim. There are uncensored Gemaras that say also include the Christians, for example. Bahamasodis, people who massered on Jews to the government. And it doesn't just mean, the Gemara in Bava Kama has a whole sugya on this topic of Masira. It's not just massering another Yid's body to the government, as in they're going to clap him in jail. It also includes massering a person, another Yid's property to the government is a very serious thing as well. You go, for example, and inform the government. You have cases in the Gemara over there. You know, you're looking for such and such a thing to confiscate for the king's palace. You should know this guy has a storehouse full of that thing. That's an example of Nasira. But that's pretty serious. V'apikursim v'apikursim and apikursim, which Rashi defines as people who are mevaza tamed chachamim. The Rambam has a different definition, actually. The Rambam defines minim as people who have, the Rambam defines minim and apikorsim and kofrim, which we're going to talk about next. He defines them in terms of the yud gimel ikrim, which the Rambam himself formulated. So minim are the ones who have wrong beliefs about Hashem himself. For example, Hashem doesn't exist, or they're true, or he has a body, etc., etc. Apikorsim then are the ones who don't believe that Hashem has anything to do with the world. They don't believe in Nevuah, they don't believe Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is anything special, etc. So those, Shekofru b'Torah, the ones who deny the Torah, for example, Rashi says they say that there's no Torah min Hashemayim. The Rambam, again, defines that Kofrim includes that, and includes also, for example, people who say that Moshe Rabbeinu invented the Torah himself, and so forth. V'shekofru b'tchias ha-mesim, or who deny tchias ha-mesim, specifically. V'shepersha midarche tzibur, or people who separated themselves from the way of the tzibur. Now, Rashi says, what do you mean? What do you need to have that in the Gemara? All these people we just described, the Minim and Apikursim and so forth, all separated themselves from the way of the tzibur. The tzibur believes in these things, and these people don't. However, most Rishonim do have the Girsa of that, and the explanation is that the Rambam, for example, defines that Pirshu Midarche Tzibur means you can have a Yid. He believes in all the 13 Ikrim, he keeps the mitzvahs and everything. But for example, when the Jewish people are in trouble, instead and everybody is fasting and davening, he says, "So what do I care? It's none of my business," and he goes about his own way. That's Pirshu Midarche Tzibur. So even though he's not actually being over on any particular Avera, and he's not denying any fundamental of Yiddishkeit, but that itself that he's saying that what bothers the rest of the Jewish people doesn't bother me, itself we're saying is a very serious thing. Another group, the people who put their terror in the land of the living, which we're going to explain later on the Amud what that means, that they were overbearing towards the Tzibur, as we're going to see, and people who themselves did Averis and caused other people, and caused many other people to do Averis, like Yeravim ben Nevat and his colleagues, meaning all the kings of Israel after him, who had the Egle Azahav and corrupted the Jewish people into worshipping them. So all of those, Yodim Gehenim, Benidonim Dola Dora Doris, all those people go down into Gehenim and are judged there for generations upon generations. So now this is another category. They're not just there for 12 months. They are there long term. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, the Yotzu v'ro, eventually when Mashiach comes, and you have all Yovik HaBotzel, Yishtach, V'Sefonai, Omer Hashem, everybody's going to come to the Beis HaMikdash every year, Midei Chodesh B'Chodesh, Midei Shabbos B'Shabbatai, and the Pasuk says, V'Yotzu v'ro, they will go out and see, the figure HaNashem HaPushim B'Yogimah, the corpses, the dead bodies of the people who sinned against me, which, as the Pasuk continues, the Isham, the Toilatam Loisamus V'Isham Loisikba, the worms that are eating them will never cease, and the fire that's consuming them will never go out. So the Gehenim Kola, Behem Enim Kola. Such people, even when Gehenim is used up, even when Gehenim is abolished, they will still be getting their punishment. They're not ending. They're still getting their punishment. Although there is an explanation the other way around. You know, the Sefer Asar of Amoris from Rav Azariah of Fano, which is mentioned in a lot of places in Siddur, it's important, Sefer of Nigla and Kabbalah blended together. Anyway, he explains the other way around. It means you have, for example, a pasuk in Hazinu that says, Hashem threatens that I'm going to use up my arrows against the Jewish people. And Rashi says over there, it means it's actually a bracha in disguise. I mean, Hashem is saying, even when all the arrows are used up, the Jewish people are not going to be used up. They're still going to be standing there firmly, having absorbed all those blows. So he learns our Gemara in the same sense over here. Even when Gehenna is done with, then Himenim Kolim, these people have not disappeared. They still exist, and they can still be rehabilitated. He also explains that L'durde durdus doesn't mean for all time, like we would understand the pastures. He says literally it means four durdus. So they're in Gehenna for, fine, much longer than 12 months. They're in there for four durdus. So you're saying, let's say, you know, what, 100 years, let's say. But then they get out. Anyway, so why do they have such a harsh punishment? Shenema, the pasuk continues with Surum, and their form, Levalis Sha'ol, will wear out Sha'ol Mizvulloi. So in other words, like, so to speak, Sha'ol, Gehenim, will be worn out, and they're still there. We're saying the other way around, according to Asar Ma'amaris, that Gehenim is worn out, and Surum, and their form, still exists. So the Chol Kachlama, why does that group of people deserve such a harsh punishment? That they should push to Yedem Bezvul, because they stretched out their hands against the Zvul, meaning they caused the Beis Mikdash to be destroyed through their Averis. Shenema, that same Pasuk in Kapitel Mem Tes continues, Mizvul Loi. From the Zvul of his. Zvul means a dwelling place. Like, yeah, when Zvulun is born, Leah says, Hapam Yizvulini Ishi. Now my husband will make his primary dwelling with me because I've borne him six children. So the word Zvul means a dwelling place, and specifically the Ein Zvul of the Beis Mikdash. The word Zvul means specifically the Beis Mikdash. Shenema Bonet Bonisi Beis Zvulach. Shlomo HaMelech during the Chanukah Sabayis says, I built a base Zavul, a dwelling place for you, Hashem. So therefore, so we're saying, with Surum Levalis Shoel, these people deserve an extended spell in Gehenim, Mizvul Loi, because they damaged the Zavul of Hashem. Meaning, in other words, because of their Averis, they caused the Beis Mikdash to be destroyed. What about the ones who lived after the Beis Mikdash was already destroyed? So the Oroch Laner brings the famous Maimer Chazal that says that Kol Mishal Kol Dur Shalom Nivne Beis Mikdash B'Yamav Kilo Hechriv Kilo Nechra B'Yamav. Any generation the Beis Mikdash was not built during their time, it's as if it was destroyed during their time. So therefore, these Rishoyim were saying they're preventing with their Averis the Beis Mikdash from being built. Therefore, it's considered that they, with their Averis, destroyed the Beis Mikdash, because if it hadn't been for them, there would have been the potential that it would have been rebuilt. So therefore, we're saying, therefore, they deserve this extra long spell in Gehenna. continues the Gemara, Va'aleim omra Chana have Hashem yechatu mirivav. On them, Chana said, Hashem, those who fight against you will be broken. Yechatu means broken. Like, al tira v'al teichas, don't be afraid, and don't be broken. The Gemara continues, Omra v'yitzchaf ha'oven upneim domin l'shulek deira. Their faces resemble the bottom of a pot, like a bottom of a pot that's blackened by the fire, so do their faces look after they come out of Gehenna. Why their faces? Ben Yehoyada says, because you can see on a person's face what kind of Averis he did. So you see, therefore, the result of it is on their faces. Now, on the surface, this part of the Gemara is still talking about these people who have a long spell in Gehenna, the Minim and Mesodis and Apikorsim and so forth. However, the Girsa in Ein Yaakov, and Marshall also likes that Girsa better, is we're referring now back to the Beinanim, where Beis Shammai had said that they have to spend a short time in Gehenim, so they spend only a short time, but nevertheless their faces come out of there looking blackened. V'amar Rava, Rava says, V'inu mishpiri shpiri b'nei mechuzah. You should know, among those people are the best of the best of the people of mechuzah. Mechuzah is a city in Babel. Rava was the Rav and the Rosh Hashiva there. He lived there almost his whole life. So Rashi describes that these people, m'unogim u'shmeinim hoyu, they were very pampered and very fat. So Rava is saying that, that some of them, some of these people, that Pneum Dermin, Lashulik Dera, are among the best, are among the best citizens of Mechuza. In other words, these people are not doing what they should. They're gonna wind up, he's warning, in other words, that these people are gonna be those ones who wind up for a spell in Gehenna. Or Mikarian, Bnei Gehenna, and such people are gonna be called the sons of Gehenna because of that amount of time that they have to spend there. There is a different Gersa that says actually the other way around, that Rava is saying, you should know, even though these people come out with blackened faces, they're still going to be more beautiful than even the most beautiful citizens of Mechuzah nowadays. As much as the people of Mechuzah nowadays are rich and pampered and they look their best, these people, even though they wound up in Gehenna for a short time and they got blackened by it, they're still going to be more beautiful than those people of Mechuzah, he's saying. So far we have several groups. We have tzaddikim, beninim, rishoyim. We have the poshi yisrael and poshi masolam, and we have the minim and masodas and so forth. So far we've got five groups. Now omer mar, we said in the braisa before, this hillel omer v'rav chesed mata klaper chesed, that when it says v'rav chesed, it means Hashem bends the scale towards chesed. So what do you mean? And therefore they say, therefore the Beninim don't have to wind up in Gehenna at all. So what do you mean? What about the pasuk that the Shammai brought? That one group, the third group, is going to have to go through fire, implying that there's a group that's going to have to go through Gehenna for a short spell. And the Silla is saying they don't have to. So what do they do with that pasuk? The answer is Hoshem Poshi Yisro B'Gufan. The Silla would say that pasuk is talking about the Poshi Yisro B'Gufan. So you're going to, which we'll define soon what those are. You're going to say, Poshi Yisro B'Gufan, Bahamad Leslu Takanta. What do you mean? We said that there's no fixing them up. We said that they wind up being in Gehenna for 12 months and then their ashes are scattered, etc. And yet now you're telling me that they only are in Gehenna for a short time and then they mitzatzefin and then they come out. The answer is we have to distinguish. Ki Leslu Takana B'Roi V'Avonis. When are we saying that there's no Takana for them? When they have most the Averis. And among those Averis, is the Aveda that's categorized as Poshi Yisro B'Gufan. Here you're talking about people who have half Avedas and half Mitzvahs. The Ispa, who nami oven to Poshi Yisro B'Gufan. One of those half Avedas that they have is Poshi Yisro B'Gufan. So therefore, in other words, what we're saying is within Beninim themselves, there are two categories. There are Beninim who do not have Poshi Yisro B'Gufan. Those, according to this Hillel, don't have to spend time in Gehenna at all. Hashem is Matik Klape Chesed. Then you have the Beninim, who among their Averis is Poshi Yisro B'Gufan. But other than that, there's still half and half. So those are the ones. So Lois Sagulahu, so it won't be enough for them, a punishment with Delave, basically, as a Shlishus Beish, they're still going to have to go through Gehenna of necessity because they were Poshi Yisro B'Gufan. But if not, if they don't have Poshi Yisro B'Gufan, then Hashem will incline the scale towards justice. So that's that, in other words. So now we have six groups. So we have Tzaddikim Gemurim, Rishoyim Gemurim, Beninim that don't have Poshi Yisro B'Gufan, Beninim that are, in addition, Poshi Yisro B'Gufan, what do you call it? Then you have the minim and so forth. The minim and then mesodus and so forth. So those are the distinctions that we have now. And also we're saying within the Rishonim themselves, there's also the distinction of whether they're Poshi Yisro B'Gufan or not. So in fact, Tosfos says that when you have the Rishoyim Nechtavim and Nechtavim La'alot of Gehenna, so those are the ones, again, who are going to have to be 12 months in Gehenna, I mean. Okay. Now, we said in the Braise of Alei and Omer David Ohavti Ki Yishma Hashem, David said about this group, I love when Hashem hears my voice. So Dorash Rava, so in this connection, Rava Darshan, my dichti wahabdik yishma Hashem, omra knesses Yisrael, if ne'akadish baruch hu, the Jewish people say to Hashem, Rebbeinu Shlalem, emasai ani ahuva lefanecha, when am I beloved before you? In other words, ahavdi, we would understand it means, in the simple sense, I love when Hashem listens to my tefillahs. But one thing is, why does he use the word I love for that? Chafasti, for example, it should say I desire, or some lashon like that. Ahavdi, so it means not just that I love, but when am I beloved before you? Bizman shata shemer, kol tachnunai, when you listen to the voice of my tefillahs. So this is talking about, again, this group that Hashem listens to them and schleps them out of Gehenim. So the pasuk is talking about them. And when it continues a few, couple of psukim later, Daloisi v'li Yoshia, again, Afapisha Dala Nimina Mitzvahs, even though I'm poor in Mitzvahs, Li Noa Yoshia, it's fitting for you to save me from Gehenim. And that's what we're saying. So the Shammai says they do that, that all Beinanim do that, and the Sillel says only if they're Beinanim who are Poshi Yisrael B'Gurim. Okay. Next. Poshi Yisro B'Gufon Mayinu. What is the definition of Poshi Yisro B'Gufon? Amarav Kafkafta Dolaymanach Tefillin. A head that never put on, a head that does not put on tefillin. Now, on one level, what that means is, in other words, that a person doesn't put on tefillin on a given day or something, which leads Tosfos to say, we're not talking about, for example, now there can be a case. A person is learning Torah, for example, he's technically potter from tefillin. We say in the Bar Mitzvah Maimon, we talk about how that Omri Yisrael of Knei Kodesh Baruch Hu Rebbeinu Shlalem, we want to learn Torah by day and by night, but we don't have the time. And Hashem says, Kaimu Mitzvah Tefillin, keep the Mitzvah Tefillin, I'll consider it as if you learn Torah by day and by night. And it goes on to explain in the Maimon how putting on Tefillin accomplishes the same thing, Lamaila, as learning Torah, almost the same thing as learning Torah. So fine, so a person who's learning Torah is Potter from Tefillin, so we're not talking about him. What we're talking about, Tosfos, and another possibility is a person could be afraid to put on tefillin because he needs guf naki and he's not going to be able to. So Tosfos says, fine, we're also not talking about that. What we're talking about is a person who doesn't put on tefillin because mitzvah bzuya olav. The mitzvah is, he considers the mitzvah shameful and embarrassing and something that he doesn't want to bother with. For example, he says that, I'm going to have scraps of leather from an animal on my head. That would be what we're talking about, the kakafta delemanach tefillin. There's a story, actually, there's a long story the Pirkei Rebbe tells in Lakota Diburim about a Yid who lived in Prague some 400-odd years ago, in the name of Shmuel Tzadik, and he had two sons, Moshe and Yehuda Arya, where Shmuel Tzadik himself was a maskilish type, and he used to mock Torah, he was a Talmud Chacham, but he used to mock Torah and Mitzvahs a lot. Eventually, one of his sons, Moshe, is Taka, a great Talmud Chacham, but a complete Rosha, and he's living over there and learning Torah while he's eating Treifas and whatever. And many years later, his nephew, the son of his brother, Rabbi Yehuda Arya, comes and helps him do Tshuva. And he's sent by Rabbi Leo Baal Shem to help him do Tshuva. Akitzer, anyway, after he breaks through to him, this Moshe starts reminiscing about how it was when he was younger, and he remembers how their father, Shmuel Tzadik, for example, when he's putting on tefillin, would laugh at him. What are you putting on animal skins on you? What good is that? That's the kind of thing that Tosfos is talking about over here. So now, with that, so first, the Ran explains that we're actually not just talking about tefillin. He says any mitzvah that a person has to regularly do, and he doesn't, because he decides it doesn't apply to him. So we're giving tefillin as an example. He says the same thing would be a person never says krishma, a person never says brachos, whatever, would be in those categories as well. With that said, though, a lot of the Rishonim have a girsa, including the Rif and others, have a girsa, d'loy manach tefillin me'olam. They never put on tefillin. So in other words, according to that, one time a person puts on tefillin, then already he's not in this gedder of karkash d'loy manach tefillin. This is where we get, in Lubavitcher jargon, when you go on with Tzoyim and you get somebody to put on tefillin who never put on before, and we say, now you got a karkashta, that comes from all Gemara over here. Because once he put on tefillin once, then according to the Rif and the other Rishonim, we have that girsa, now he's not in that category of Poshi Yisrael B'Gufan anymore, because one time at least he put it on. By the way, I mean, you know, when the Rebbe began Mivtzeh Tefillin, there was a good deal of opposition to it from various quarters, and they brought up a bunch of points which the Rebbe addressed in various letters and various sichas in that time, like Chav Zayin, early Chav Ches. One of them was this question of Tefillin Tzrichin Guf Naki, and they need to have Kavana, and so on and so forth, and the Rebbe addressed it at some length, and one of the points the Rebbe made is just this. That look, you know, you put on tefillin on them one time, and look, one time it's new and exciting for them. You can expect that for that short amount of time they can have kavana, and you've done an important thing. You've taken them out of a whole category of people that we're saying over here in the Gemara of Poshi Yisrael B'Gufan. Much earlier, by the way, the Smag in the mid-1200s also went on his own mitzvah tefillin. In his time, there were many people who were careless with the mitzvah of tefillin for various reasons, one of them being tacked at a point that you need kavana and you need gufnaki and whatever, so people have gotten very lax in it. So the Smag, Rav Moshe Mikutzi, traveled around to many communities in France and Spain on his own mitzvah tefillin, partially giving speeches in the shuls and being ma'orer people about the importance of the mitzvah. A generation later, the Sefer Achinuch writes about, when he's talking about the mitzvah of tefillin, he says at that time also you had people that argued against it. What are you bothering for? You know, they're not there anyway. What kind of kavanah are they going to have when they put on tefillin? And the Sefer Achinuch explains, yeah, but after all, you know, look, I mean, tefillin is a tremendous gateway to other mitzvahs. So for that reason, it's worth putting in some effort to get it that Jews should be able to put it on. Anyway. So that's Poshi Yisroel B'Gufan, again, where they didn't put on tefillin, or where they never put on tefillin, as the case may be. Poshi Umas Ha'olam B'Gufan, what do we mean by Poshi Umas Ha'olam B'Gufan? Goyim who did Avedos with their bodies, where they're saying where they're in a lower category of, even if they're otherwise Beninim, they're still in a lower category because of this. Amarav Ba'Avera. So Rav says it means when among their Avedos is Znus. We know that Shevet Mitzvot Bnei Noach includes Arayas. They have a smaller set of Arayas than we do. They only have 6 Arayas compared to, we have a couple dozen. But still, the ones that they have. So when you have a Goy who otherwise is half Mitzvot, half Averis, but among his Averis, his Poshis, is Poshim the Gufan, that he did Nus, then he's the one that winds up in Gehenna for 12 months and then getting ground up to ashes, etc. Okay. Now, we said in the... Yeah.
How do you explain that it says Amech Kulchem Tzadikim, and here we have Poshim, we have Shai.
That's what I was saying. Hold on. That's what I was saying before. Ko Yisrael Yashem Chelik Lan Labah. And when this guy David Stockhammer asked the Rebbe about what about the ones who don't have a Chelik Lan Labah, then the Rebbe explained how after all they do. Right. So all Gemara also has to be seen in that light. First of all, these people can do tshuva. Second of all, their children's schosim can help them. Somebody else's schosim can help them. All of this. Tosfos stresses that all of this is, we're talking about when they didn't do tshuva. So all of that has to be, all of that was saying over here has to be seen in that light. We're not saying that this is an absolute thing. There's no takana for these people at all. We're just saying that right, if they continue as they are right now, and there's no mitigating schus and so on and so forth, then that's what's going to be. But there can always be. They can do tshuva, or there can be some other mitigating schus of their own or somebody else's, et cetera, right? So in the end, they can have a chelik lan labah. And again, ultimately, if nothing else, the neshama itself is a chelik l'kami ma'al mamash. That doesn't get destroyed. So if nothing else, fine. It means that particular body is not going to come back by tches mason. But nevertheless, the other bodies that it inhabited will. Right.
I'm not talking chelik for olam. I'm talking about kulchem tzadikim. The Jewish people are tzadikim. How do you explain that? And you say that
meaning in other words, they're tzadikim in the sense, what a tzadik can mean, tzadik bedin. It can mean eventually, in the judgment of them, they're pronounced innocent. And that, and remember, you can have a case, even in based in Shalamata, you can have a case where a person really is guilty of the charges, but they don't have enough evidence, let's say, to convict him. He's still considered a tzaddik in that sense, even the pasuk says on him, "Benoki the tzaddik al tarig," even though everybody knows he's guilty. So here it can be the same thing. Ba'amich kolam tzaddikim, at least in that minimal sense. That they all do have, as the Mishnah in Chelik brings that in connection with the fact that Tois Yerel Hashem Chelik on above, that eventually, one way or the other, every yid is going to get it. All right, we need to go on though. We're running late over here. Okay, we said before, we said there were people who put their terror in the land of the living. So what does that mean? This refers to a leader of the community who makes people afraid of him, not l'shem shemayim. Now, there is, in other words, the idea that they have to respect him, l'shem shemayim, and he should be using his influence to improve them. But then you have what he's doing there. He wants people to fear him just for his own cupboard, not l'shem shemayim. So we're saying such people are in this category as well. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, and in fact, Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Kol panos hamatul emi yiseir al tzibur shaloi l'shem shemayim, einu roya ben tamad chacham. Such a person is never going to see a son who is a tamad chacham. Shenema, as the pasuk says, l'chein yirei uhu anoshim, therefore, because people fear him, lo yirei kochach melev, he will not see from his own descendants any wise-hearted people. So because he did this, then that's his punishment. So now what's the, how is it midah k'neged midah? One point is, a paronus himself, we don't mean a paronus means a community leader of some kind. It can be a rab, it can be a rosh hakol or whatever. He himself is supposed to be a certain tamid chacham. But if he's misusing this position for his own kavod, then he doesn't deserve that he's going to have children of the caliber to be paronosim themselves, namely that they're not going to be tamid chacham. And that's one explanation. Okay. Now, we said before, v'shilo oimim rav chesed matah klapei chesed. We said that Beshilo says that when the midah of Rav Chesed means that Hashem inclines the scale towards justice. So in other words, you have a scale with mitzvahs and avedas, and Hashem somehow causes the side with mitzvahs to weigh down more. So heichi oven, what does Hashem do for that purpose? Rabbi Eliezer oimer koivshay. Rabbi Eliezer says that Hashem is koivish the avedah, which has a few possibilities. Rashi says it means that he pushes down the side with the mitzvahs. Well, if you push that down, then it's lower down. Therefore, Hashem can say, good, the side with mitzvahs is lower. Therefore, it means it's heavier. Therefore, I can judge the person favorably. Elsewhere, in Erchin, this Gemara is also brought briefly. And Rashi explains the other way around, that Kovshay means Hashem takes the Avera and hides it away. And then there are a couple of Rishonim who explain that Kovshay means that Hashem compresses it, like squeezes it down, so now it takes up less volume. So now it weighs less in the scale. Anyway, Shanema, as the positive says, Yoshuv Yirachamenu, Hashem will come back and have Rachmanus on us. Yichvash Avinesenu, he will be Kovish or Avedus. So we see that one way that Hashem can judge a person favorably is by being Kovish, something pushing down the good side or hiding away things from the bad side, etc. Rabbi Yossi Berchanina, I'm a Noise. Rabbi Yossi Berchanina says he lifts up the side with the Avedus, so now that side is lighter. So therefore, and the other side is heavier. As the pasuk describes Hashem, that he lifts up oven and forgives pesha. So therefore, we see that there's a certain lifting up process involved. Tonad ve'Rabbi Shmuel mavu rishin rishin. We learn in a braisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel that what Hashem does, a third possibility, he removes the first one. We say in davening, kel chapai mata, or kel melech mochel avonis amin mavu rishin rishin. So that comes from our Gemara over here. V'chein hi hamida, and that is the mida. Now, what does that mean? There's a lot of different explanations about it. V'chein hi hamida can mean that's the definition of the mida of Rav Chesed. It can mean v'chein hi hamida, this is the proper way that Hashem should be doing things. And what it means, ma'avirishin rishin, the rift brings a couple of possibilities, a couple of explanations. One of them is it means, let's say, a person did a certain aveda the first time in his life. So Hashem will take that away and not consider it towards his detriment, because after all, it was his first time, and he's generally speaking, been good. The other possibility is that it's not even the first aveda, but like the first couple. If you have a person who's basically good, basically upright and whatever, but he's done a couple of avedas, then Hashem will lift off. Hashem will take away those avedas, rishon, one by one, in order to lighten that side of the scale. The Rambam explains more like that second explanation. He explains that actually what happens is Hashem will start like taking off the Averis one by one. Hashem will give a person a break up to three times. So Hashem will take off the first one. Now the second one becomes the first one. So therefore that can be taken off also. And therefore the number of them gradually decreases. But Amar Rava, but Oven Asma ain't a Nimcha. Don't think that those Averis that Hashem took off the scale are erased. They're not. The Iika Ruba Avonis, if it ends up after the rest of the measurement is done, that is mostly Avonis, Machshe Badayu, then those Averis that were taken off the scale are going to be put right back on and included together with it. So it's only, in other words, Hashem gives the person a break, and Ma'avirishinishin, in order to make it at least equal. But if after all that it still doesn't help, then everything gets counted. Okay. More on this topic of Noise Oven V'Over Al-Pesha, Rava Omar, or Omar Rava, really, because it's a new statement, Kola Mavir Amidosev, Mavirin Le'akob Shav. When a person is willing to overlook things that people did against him, Amidosev, things that people did such and such to me, I should do exactly that to them. So if he overlooks that and he says, I'm not going to do it, I'm going to be meichel them, Mavirin Le'akob Shav, then Hashem forgives him all of his avedas. Shenema noisei oven va'over al pesha. Lamin noisei oven. Who does Hashem forgive avedas? Lamin she'over al pesha, to a person who himself, in his midas shemein adam lachaveda, is willing to overlook transgressions against him. And the Gemara gives an example of this. Rav Huna b'rei de Rishua cholash. Rav Huna b'rei de Rishua one time was sick. Oh, Rav Papa l'sheyuli gei. Rav Papa came to be mvaka cholah. Chazid Cholish Le'alma, he saw that Rabbi Huna Ben Yehuda looked very weak. He's at death's door. Omalahu, so Rav Papa says to the family, Svisu Le'zvadda, prepare for him provisions. And what provisions does a mess need? Tachrichim. In other words, he's a goner. So you may as well get ready. Well, so Itbach, eventually Rav Huna Ben Yehuda sure recovered. Have a mixer for Papa Lemesis. So Papa now is embarrassed to go see him. I pronounced you dead, and here you are walking around. Omale my chazis. So he asked him, Huna Breda Rishur, what did you see when you were Lamaila? I saw you really are dead. Your neshama must have left your body. What did you actually see, Lamaila? Omale. So Huna Breda Rishur answers him, Ein hochinam, ein hochihava. Indeed, that's how it was. I was, in fact, my neshama did in fact leave my body. But Hashem said to the Beis Din Shamayla, since Rav Huna Ben Yehuda is not particular about other people insulting him or harming him or whatever, don't be so machmer on him. Give him a break. So that's what saved Rav Huna Ben Yehuda's life, the fact that he was always machmer on Midosa. But the pasuk continues, l'sheiris nachalosai, for the remnant of his heritage, the remnant of the Jewish people. So Amar Rav Acha b'Chanina, alya v'kotzba. What you have over here is like the expression, a fat tail, but with a thorn stuck in it. Which, I mean, the metaphor is of an animal with a fat tail that drags it all over the place, and thorns end up getting embedded in it. So it's a figure of speech for where you have something that looks really, really good at first glance, but you look a little closer, and you realize there's some fine print over here that you have to pay attention to. What's the fine print? We're saying that this dispensation of Nosa Oven V'Over Al-Pesha is only for She'eris Nachalosei, not for everybody. So what is that? L'misha Mesim Achna Kishirayim only applies to a person who makes himself like Shirayim, who is humble. Meaning, in other words, you can have a person who's Mavra Ami Yosef, not because he's humble. Because you know what, that other guy is beneath my dignity, he's a garnish, why should I? That's not what we're saying, that he's Mavra Ami Yosef. Mavra Ami Yosef, we're talking about where he feels, you know what, this other person is taka greater than me. And therefore, I'm not gonna answer him back. Because you know what, he has a valid point. He what he's saying or doing to me, he has you find, for example, with David and Shimi, for example, when Shimi is cursing him, and Ki Hashem Amalei Kalo would be an example of this. Not that he's saying Shimi's a nobody and therefore I should ignore him. Obviously I did averus that make me deserve this kind of treatment. And therefore I'm not gonna go and then get back at Shimi for it. So that would be an example of the Misha Mesim Atzmut Yishirayim. So we're saying over here that this is Alya B'Kotzba. It's not so easy for a person to reach that level. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Rav Huna Rami. Rav Huna pointed out a contradiction between Pesukim. Going back to talking about Hashem's justice. Ksiv Tzadik Hashem B'chol D'rafav, Uchtiv B'chosid B'chomasav, B'chosid G'nashrei. Hashem is just in all of his ways, and chosid and kind in all of his doings. Tzadik suggests that it's exact mishpat, exactly what needs to be done, what each person deserves. Chosid suggests that he goes l'fnei mishuras hadin. So what is it? It means b'tchilat tzadik olvasoich chosid. First, Hashem starts by judging a person as a tzadik, as the exact thing, exactly what he deserves. Then Hashem sees the world is not going to last on that alone, so therefore Hashem brings in chesed as well. We have by Ma'aseh Bereishis where it says that Hashem intended to create the world with midas hadin, and that's not going to work, so he added midas harachmanim. So we're saying that that's on an ongoing basis. Similarly, Rabbi Lazar Rami, Rabbi Lazar also pointed out a contradiction in another pasuk. Ksiv l'cha Hashem chosed. The pasuk says, Hashem, yours is the chesed. Ki uchsiv, ki after the shalom le'ish k'maseh. The same pasuk continues, because you pay back each person according to his deeds. So again, chesed suggests that Hashem goes l'finim mishuras adin. Ki after the shalom le'ish k'maseh suggests that it's very exact. So which is it? Same thing. B'tchila ki after the shalom k'maseh. It starts out with that Hashem is going to pay back the person exactly what he deserves. Then in the end, Hashem brings in chesed. So why is the pasuk backwards? Tosfos says, same thing. It means, because you realize that it won't work if Shalom ish k'maseh. Similarly, Ilfi, Ilfa, pointed out a contradiction. The same thing. Again, Rav Chesed is Chesed. emes is strict midas adin. In fact, you have the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says midas emes ra v'nafal aponav. When it says after Hashem spoke the yud gimel midas adin, and it says vayimaher Moshe vayikud outsa, Moshe hurried up and fell on his face vayishtachu, and he prostrated himself. So the Gemara says, what did he see that made him bow so suddenly? One explanation: the Gemara says midas emes ra, he saw the midah of truth, and he realized that's a very strict standard. So why are we saying Rav Chesed and then Ve'emes? Same thing. Ve'emes will say Rav Chesed. Hashem starts out with Emes, but if he sees the person is not going to be able to manage it, then Hashem gives Rav Chesed instead. You do have, by the way, the rare tzaddikim that are able to live on Emes, that are able to live on Hashem's strict justice. The Gemara mentions them in Brachas, for example. There's a mimer someplace in the Siddur in Dach that talks about the idea that when we say behei nivra olam hazeh, the yud nivra olam haba, the yud, among other things, represents gvura, he explains, and therefore it means you have the people who, the rare people who wind up in the very highest levels of Gan Eden, they are the ones who live, or who able, he says also, la'asid lavei, this is how it's going to be, the la'asid lavei, the world is going to run on Hashem's gvura rather than chesed, because the world will be on a level to be able to deserve that. Nowadays it's not. If Hashem ran the world on gvura, on midas adin, it would be destroyed, but the la'asid lavei, it won't be that way. Okay. Since we're talking about the yud gimel midas harachmim, let's discuss them. The pasuk says Vayavar Hashem aponav vayikra. Hashem passed by in front of Moshe and called out the Yudgum Midas Arachmim. Amar Rav Yechanan Ilmolei Mikra Kosov Iyef Shal Oimrei. If the pasuk had not been written this way, it would be impossible for us to say it on our own. Malamach in his Atav Hakadosh Baruch Hu Kshliach Tzibur. This teaches us that Hashem wrapped himself up in a talis like a Shliach Tzibur. Although Rabbi Chananel says it wasn't Hashem himself, it was a malach, but whatever, that there was wrapped up in a talus like a shliach tzibur, the herald of Moshe stayed at tefillah, and he showed Moshe how to daven Moshe. Omolo, he tells him, kol zman sheYisrael choytim, whenever the Jewish people are sinning, yasu lefonei kaseder azeh, they should do in front of me like the seder, v'ani moichel lahem, and I will forgive them. So therefore, now this is, by the way, why we have, number one, we don't say the Yud Gomer Sarachman B'yachid, because we're saying over here that's really for the Shliach Tzibur, and for the Tzibur to say along with him, so that's why we don't say it when we're B'yachid. And second of all, this is why when we have Slichas, even for example, Slichas before Rosh Hashanah, that take place in the middle of the night, or before Shachris, the Chazan puts on a talis, based on what we're saying over here in the Gemara, that when the Yud Gomer Sarachman was said, you should be wearing a talis. So, okay, when we daven mincha, we say the Yud Gomer Sarachim, the Chazan not wearing a talis, and I'm in a fine. But in general, in Shachris and in Slichus, we do. And we learn from here. So the first two of the middos are, now, actually, you have over here, you can see there's a Tosfos and a note on the other side of Tosfos. There's a lot of different opinions how to count the Yud Gomer Sarachim. We always are used to, because we say in Davin, and we start from Hashem, Hashem, and we understand, as the Gemara is going to say over here, that Hashem, Hashem are the first two of them. Hashem, Hashem, the third one is Keil, the fourth one is Rachum, and so on and so forth. There are a number of other explanations, Tosfos and the note in Tosfos, and other Rishonim talk about a few other possibilities. One is that maybe the first Hashem does not count, because we say, in other words, it means, Vayavar Hashem aponav vayikra Hashem, Hashem passed in front of him, and Hashem called out, Hashem, Keil, Rachum, Vachanan, etc. So according to that, it would begin with the second Hashem. Because the Gemara is going to say in a second that the first Hashem refers to before even the person did an Aveira. So therefore, it doesn't have to be counted as one of the Yudgum Midas Rachman, because before the person did an Aveira, maybe he doesn't need Rachman. Although we'll talk about that in a second. There's other possibilities that maybe neither Hashem counts, at maybe it starts only from Kael. And then you have even those opinions that none of them, Hashem, Hashem, Kael, is all an introduction, and they actually begin with Rachum. And then you have, as you go along also, for example, is Erech Apayim counted as one or as two? If you have, for example, you look in the Siddur by Tashlich, when we say the Pesukim over there, Mikael Kamoicha, and you have above them, you have in little letters, you have the Yud Gomer Midas Harachmim. So there you have, for example, Hashem, Hashem, Kael is all together, and Erech and Apayim are split apart, for example, and so forth. So you have several different opinions among the Rishonim and among the Mekubalim, and so forth, exactly how we count Yud Gomer Midas from these Pesukim. Anyway, so the Gemara continues, when we say Hashem, Hashem, why do we mention Hashem's name twice? It means Hashem says, Anihu kodim shiyachta adam, I'm the same Hashem, the same Midas Harachmim, before the person does the Avera, v'anihu la'acha shiyachta adam v'yasa tshuva, and I am just as merciful after the person did the Avera and did tshuva. Now, why did the person need Rachmanus before he did the Avera? So the Rosh offers a couple of reasons. First of all, Hashem knows in advance that he's going to do it. And nevertheless, Hashem still has Rachmanis on him. The other reason, the Rosh says, what happens if a person has a thought of Avodah Zarah? So usually we say, Machshava Ra Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzar for the Maisa. That Hashem doesn't count the bad thought as part of the Maisa. But with Avodah Zarah it's different, the Gemara tells us in a few places. However, Bamed Bar Mamon, when he actually goes and worships it, then Hashem counts the thought badly against him as well. But like this, if he only has the thought, doesn't actually do it, then Hashem still has Rachmanis on him. That's the first Hashem, we're saying. We continue Kael Rachum Bochanun, that Hashem is a Kael is also a midah of Chesed. Rachum Bochanun. A difference between Rachum and Chanun, by the way, is that Rachum means that Hashem has Rachmanus. Marsha says that Rachum means that Hashem has Rachmanus. Chanun means particularly when the person is in trouble that Hashem gets it out of it. Chanun suggests that like a person is in trouble and he needs extra help, then Hashem gives him that extra help. Even if maybe he's not deserving of it at all. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, Bris Krusa, the Yomul Midas, She'en and Chozres Reikam. There's a covenant that Hashem made with the 13 Midas that they don't return empty-handed. When you daven with the Yomul Midas, you're guaranteed to be answered. Hashem, Hine Anochi, Kodesh Bris, as Hashem says, I'm making a covenant, and the covenant refers to the Yomul Midas. Now, the question is, you have to ask, unfortunately, you see that sometimes people do daven with the Yomul Midas and it doesn't help. There is an explanation that we just said before, that Hashem said when the Jewish people sin, Yasu l'fanei kaseder hazeh. Now, what do you mean? What the doing you're saying? It means when people actually act like these Yirgum Midas, Mahu Chanun, Afata Chanun, Ma'atarachum, Afatarachum, then the Yirgum Midas have their effect. When not, when people are not behaving according to these Yirgum Midas, then saying them is not going to be so effective. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rav Yechanan. Shuvah is a tremendous thing. It causes a person's zardin to be ripped up. Shanema, as you have a pasuk, Hashem tells Yeshaya, you're going to have a tough job now as a Navi, because look what the Yetzirah is doing to the people. Hashmein leva amazeh, he's making the heart of this people fat, but he's covering it with a layer of fat so nothing can penetrate. The oznav hakbed, he's causing their ears to be heavy. The einav hasha, he's causing their eyes to turn away. Because he's afraid, Pen Yira Be'enav, he's afraid that the Jewish people otherwise are going to see with their eyes what's going on, over Oznav Yishma, and they're going to listen with their ears to what the Nevi'im are saying, or the Vava Yavin, and their heart will understand, because if they were to do all that, the Shav, the Rafa Loi, they would do Tshuva, and they're going to be healed, and the Yetzirah doesn't want that, and therefore he's preventing them from paying attention. So we see, in other words, that if a person does Tshuva, the Rafa Loi, he'll be healed. So we see that Tshuva can whip up the Gzardin. How do you know? Maybe it means only before the Gzav Din, Shuvah helps. So Abaya answers, but Rafa likes him. Sure, but the Pasuk uses the expression that Hashem will heal him. When do we say that healing is needed? When you have a Gmar Din, then you need Refuah. When there's no Gmar Din yet, you don't need Refuah. The verdict hasn't been decided yet. So then, of course, Shuvah helps, but the point is that Shuvah helps even after that. And what says Macy? I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Hashav ben Tayyim, between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, a person does Tshuva, Moichlen Loi, then Hashem forgives him, Loi Shav ben Tayyim, but if he doesn't do Tshuva in between, Afilu Hevi Kol Eile Nevoyas Shav Olam, even if he brings all the rams of Nevoyas, which are, Nevoyas was the eldest son of Yishmael, and the rams from his area of the world were particularly fat and good quality, so even if he brings all those, Ein Moichlen Loi, he's not going to be forgiven, because he needs to do Tshuva. So we see that only if he does Tshuva Bein Tayim, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which is during the time before the Gzav Din has been sealed, the answer is, like Kasha Habi Yachid Habi Tzibur. Depends, we're talking about a Yachid or a Tzibur. A Yachid, you're right, once the Gzav Din is done, then it can't be ripped up. But the Tzibur, they can still, even after the Gzav Din, can do Tshuva and Hashem will rip up the Gzav Din. So the Gemara says, Macy, I have a contradiction to that. We learn in a pasuk, the pasuk is Eidei Hashem al-Kechaba, the eyes of Hashem are on Eretz Yisrael, and that means that throughout the year, not just Rosh Hashanah, itim l'tova, itim l'ra. Sometimes that can be for good, and sometimes for the opposite, meaning sometimes what was decided at the beginning of the year is redecided, not really redecided, but reassigned during the year in a different way. Itim l'tova ketzad, what do we mean for good? Harei shahoy Yisrael r'shoyim gmurim b'Rosh Hashanah. Suppose the Jewish people are complete r'shoyim on Rosh Hashanah. U'poskelem g'shamim wadim. So the Beis Din Shamayla decided that they only get a very little amount of rain that year. L'soif chozru b'han. Later on during the year they did shuvah. Lahosif alein e epsher. Now you can't add more rain to the gzera. That's what the Gemara is going to ask. What do you mean? He was talking about tzibur, and we're still saying the gzera din can't be ripped up. That's what we left the question, so we'll get to the answer soon. So you can't change the gzera. You can't add more rain to find nigzer of gzera because the gzera has already been made. Ela Hakadosh Baruch Hu murdered and shleb dismanon. Ela Hakadosh Baruch Hu murdered and dismanon. Rather, what Hashem will do then is He'll cause that rain to fall in its proper time, on the land that needs them, everything according to whatever the land needs. In other words, Hashem will make sure of that little amount of rain, not one drop of it is wasted. Every single one will fall on a cultivated field, on an orchard or whatever. None of it is going to be wasted on the forest. None of it is going to be wasted on the sidewalks, etc. So little rain, but every bit of it does some good. Itim the raw cake. That wouldn't mean for bad. The other way around. Hareishay Yisrael tzaddikim gmurim b'Rosh Hashanah. Suppose the Jewish people were tzaddikim gmurim on Rosh Hashanah. Upos v'alem shomim merubim. So Hashem decided they were going to get a lot of rain. L'soif chozubah. And later on during the year, they turn around and become Rishayim. L'fchis meheni yapshah. Hashem was not going to reduce the amount of rain. Shekvah nigzer of Zera. Because the Zera was already made. Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu murdered in Shalev Zmanon. So Hashem will say, okay, you're going to get plenty of rain. But it'll come in the wrong time. When the fields don't need it. Out of season. And it'll make it fall on places that don't need it. For example, the forests and the deserts and whatever. So the question is, Latova, now if the Jewish people turned for the good and was saying that the Gzera is that then Hashem takes that little amount of rain and makes sure that everything of it goes to where it should, Mia Likre Lagzadi Nayu. So why doesn't Hashem at least rip up the Gzaudin, the Loisif Lahu, and add to them rain? After all, we said the Gzaudin and the Tzibur can be ripped up. The answer is shiny awesome to Epsha Bahaki. Yeah, but in that case, it's possible to arrange things this way. In other words, Hashem Kaviyahu would prefer not to have to rip up the Zaudin even for the Tzibur. So when that Zaudin for the Tzibur can be reworked out in a way that it'll do the most good, then Hashem will do that and make sure in this case that none of the rain goes to waste. Where that's not possible, then Hashem will actually rip up the Zaudin of the Tzibur because they did Shuvah. So still no contradiction. We'll continue with that discussion tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Yeah, everyone.